Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin, I have one more parenting question to throw your way. Maybe once I listen to all the ones we've generated so far, I'll actually finally feel like I'm a responsible parent. I know my stuff. I know the basics right now, but there's a few things that I'm trying to deepen my understanding of. I would say generally, my aspiration is to take a more laissez-faire approach to parenting. I definitely don't want to be a hover parent. And I've talked in some previous episodes some pretty raw personal stuff about my own childhood growing up in an alcoholic home. And a large part of what would define success for me as a parent isn't that my child, although, you know, we are of course all counting on Ezra to become a quantum computing genius and therefore allow me to retire in a few years. But even if he just becomes, you know, whatever he wants to do, I think that creating a stable environment is my kind of goal. That's my meta goal. When we had Ezra, when Ezra was born, you get a few days in hospital, which is always a weird place because there's these periods, you know, the birth, and then there's a lot of waiting around just to for them to go through the routine checks, which thankfully came back normal. And you get to spend some time as a man in the very weird situation whereby the medical staff are confused as to why you're here. I had at one point, I spent a few nights in the infamous new father's chair. They give you like a little kind of thing that doesn't go back. I got told that the brunch food was not for me. Do not eat it. It would be kind of a comical episode to talk about the experience of new fathers in hospitals where you stay there to support your new wife and because you're thrilled to be with your new child. And sometimes you find yourself feeling like kind of an invader who's being just about tolerated. But one of the things I was doing in those first few days is, as any overtech parent does, you say, wait, I've got a new thing. I need a new app for it. So I went onto the Play Store and looked for parenting apps. And thereupon, I discovered the very strange world of baby tracking apps. This stuff is really weird to me. You have these apps that, you know, I kind of went into it thinking, well, I guess you should kind of write down when your child, of course, any medical stuff, right? If they're having, I don't know, there's a certain skin thing you don't like the look of, take a photo, write a note. That I could see being very helpful. But oh man, these things go far beyond that. You have every activity can be tracked. And there is for the breast feeding tracker, you can track at the individual breast level. That is a level of granularity that nobody I think really wanted or needs. But this is what the mainstream apps do. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm anti-data at all. Data is great. But there's certainly something to be said that this is not a helpful level of information to be aggregating. And every time you go to our doctor, he seems to say, I think he feels the same thing. He looks at the height, you know, the head circumference, the weight, the height. And at the start, there was, I felt even there, a lot of looking at charts and it felt a little bit very number focused. But now that we're in the right part of the graph, I guess, we're kind of in the routine care situation again, which is great. So what I was looking for, if I could define what technology would be helpful to me as a new father and an app, it's definitely not that extreme level of tracking. He coughed, he looked happy, he smiled, he cried. Not my cup of tea. But what would be great is what I would call the bigger picture. Ezra is 6 months and 4 weeks old. That's the first thing I want to know, exactly how many days and months and weeks. And what I mean, I guess what every parent, and I've mentioned that we have the blessing of being able to see Ezra during the day more than some parents who are in an office. And you really see the changes week to week. And that's the stuff that actually interests me. Like at 6 months and 2 weeks, what's happening? I've mentioned that I often find myself just wondering, what's going on in Ezra's brain? What's he thinking about? How are his senses developing? Does he know I'm a father yet? If I'm playing with him, like, what can I do? Like, where is he at developmentally? What does he need? And haven't really found that yet. So what do you say, Herman and Corin? Is there anything like that that you can recommend? It feels like a pity that there wouldn't be, because, you know, we have so much information. We have so much great AI that can sift through it. Very easy to have an app that just provides their age. In fact, I've created an AI assistant for asking pediatrician or health questions that just provides the age, because if you know today's date and you know the date of birth, you can get the age. It's one line of JavaScript. But I'd much rather use something that is kind of geared for what I'm looking for philosophically, if you want. Herman and Corin, as you guys know, I'm on Android, Linux on the desktop, but more than platform specifics, I'm wondering, can you think of any tools that I might yield benefit from so that I can sort of become a more informed and helpful parent to little Ezra? Over to you two.
All right, we are back, and today we are diving into something that hits pretty close to home for us. Our housemate and good friend Daniel sent us a voice note about his son, Ezra. Ezra is about 7 months old now, which is such a wild age. I feel like every time I see him in the kitchen, he has learned a new way to interact with the world. But Daniel is feeling what I think a lot of modern parents feel, which is this exhaustion with the granular tracking. He does not want to just log how many ounces of milk or how many minutes of sleep are happening. He is looking for the bigger picture. He wants to know what is actually happening inside that little brain of Ezra's and how he can support that development without becoming a helicopter parent.
It is the classic data versus insight problem, Corn. And hello everyone, I am Herman Poppleberry. I have been waiting for Daniel to ask this because I have been digging into the current state of pediatric AI and developmental frameworks lately. It is funny that Daniel mentioned his laissez-faire approach while also wanting to know the week-to-week neurological shifts. It is a bit of a paradox, right? You want to be hands-off, but you want to be deeply informed. And honestly, 7 months is the perfect time to have this conversation because it is one of the most significant transitional periods in infancy.
It really is. We touched on this back in episode 378 when we talked about the 6-month milestone magic. But 7 months is where the rubber really meets the road with things like motor skills and social cognition. So, Herman, Daniel is asking for tools. He is on Android. He is a Linux guy on the desktop. He wants something that feels smart but not overbearing. Where do we even start when we move past the diaper logs?
The first thing we have to address is the shift from quantitative tracking to qualitative understanding. Most parenting apps on the market for the last decade were essentially just fancy spreadsheets. They tell you what happened, but they do not tell you why it matters. If you want the why, the gold standard for a long time has been an app called the Wonder Weeks. Now, Daniel might already know about this one, but it is worth revisiting because of how they have integrated more predictive modeling recently.
I have heard of the Wonder Weeks. That is the one based on the concept of mental leaps, right? The idea that babies go through these predictable neurological growth spurts where their worldview literally changes overnight.
Exactly. It is based on the research of Franz Pluijgy and Hedy van der Wright. The core idea is that there are 10 predictable leaps in the first 20 months. At 7 months, Ezra is actually in a fascinating quiet period between major leaps. He finished leap 5, the world of relationships, around week 26, and he is gearing up for leap 6, the world of categories, which usually hits around week 37. Right now, he is in what they call a leap-free zone, but that is actually when the most interesting integration happens. He is practicing the relationship between objects, like realizing that if he drops a spoon, it does not just vanish, it is now on the floor.
That is fascinating, because you can actually see that happening. You see a baby start to drop things off a high chair and look down to see where they went. They are testing the relationship between the object and the floor. But Herman, is there an AI component to this now? Or is it still just a static calendar based on a due date?
That is where it has evolved. In the last year or so, they have started incorporating more adaptive feedback. Instead of just saying, your baby is in a leap, it asks for specific behavioral markers. Are they more clingy? Are they crying more? Are they sleeping less? The AI then maps these fuzzy signs to a specific developmental curve. But if Daniel wants something even more robust and activity-based, he should look at Kinadu.
Kinadu. I remember we mentioned them briefly in the Daycare Dilemma episode, number 394. What makes their approach different from a standard milestone checklist?
Kinadu is much more focused on the personalization of the developmental roadmap. They use an AI-driven assessment tool called AIRA, that is the Artificial Intelligence Recommendation Algorithm. It covers 5 key areas: cognitive, linguistic, physical, social, and emotional. Instead of just saying a 7-month-old should be doing X, Y, and Z, the app asks you to perform little mini experiments. For example, it might ask Daniel to place a toy under a transparent cloth and see if Ezra tries to reach for it. Based on those specific observations, the AI generates a daily activity plan. So, if Ezra is showing a high proficiency in fine motor skills but maybe needs more encouragement with gross motor stuff like crawling, the algorithm shifts the suggested play activities to bridge that gap.
See, that feels more like what Daniel is looking for. It is less about recording that Ezra ate 4 ounces of peas and more about how to engage with him in a way that feels productive. But let me push back a bit on the AI side of this. Is the AI actually doing something a well-written book could not do? Or is it just a fancy way to serve up content?
That is a fair question. The real value of the AI in these platforms in 2026 is the synthesis of data points across millions of children to identify subtle patterns. For example, Kinadu's model can identify if a child's development is following a non-linear path that might still be perfectly healthy, but requires different types of stimulation. It moves away from the average child model and toward this specific child model. It is the difference between a generic workout plan and a personal trainer who watches how you move.
I like that analogy. But Daniel also mentioned wanting to know what is happening in the brain. He wants that deeper scientific context. Is there a tool that acts more like a bridge between the research papers you are always reading and the actual day-to-day experience of parenting?
There is a newer player in the space called Lovery, which people know for their physical play kits, but their app has become incredibly sophisticated. They have started using large language models to allow parents to ask those why questions. You could literally type in, "Ezra is suddenly terrified of the vacuum cleaner and he never was before. What is happening?" And the AI, trained on their developmental database, can explain that at 7 months, Ezra's sensory perception is sharpening and he is beginning to understand cause and effect, which can lead to new fears of loud noises. They even have a feature called Play Finder, where you can point your phone camera at any toy, and the AI will suggest a developmentally appropriate way to use it.
That sounds like a game changer for someone like Daniel who appreciates the science. It is like having a developmental psychologist in your pocket. But I want to talk about the second order effects of this. If we have these AI tools telling us exactly what our kid needs every week, do we lose that parental intuition? Daniel mentioned wanting to be laissez-faire. Does an AI-driven developmental map actually make you more of a hover-parent because you are constantly checking if they are hitting the specific markers the AI says they should?
That is the danger, Korn. It is the optimization trap. If the app says Ezra should be mastering the pincer grasp this week and he is not doing it, a parent might start to feel unnecessary stress. But here is the thing. The best AI tools right now are being designed to mitigate that. They are starting to include empathy modules and broader windows of development. Instead of saying your child must do this today, they say, here is a 3-week window where this skill usually emerges, and here is why it is okay if it takes longer.
I think that is a crucial distinction. It has to be a tool for understanding, not a scorecard. I am also curious about the tech stack Daniel mentioned. He is a Linux and Android guy. He probably cares about data privacy more than the average user. When you are feeding information about your child's development into an AI, where is that data going?
That is a massive point, especially in 2026. Many of these apps have moved toward on-device processing for the more sensitive developmental data. But for a guy like Daniel, he might actually enjoy a more DIY approach using a general-purpose AI. Think about this. He could use a tool like Llama or LM Studio to run a local large language model on his Linux desktop. He could feed it high-quality developmental frameworks, like the ones from the Centers for Disease Control or the American Academy of Pediatrics, and then use a secure private instance to synthesize his own observations. He could keep a simple markdown journal of what Ezra is doing, and then once a month ask the local AI to summarize the developmental themes it sees without a single byte of data ever leaving his home network.
That is a very Herman Poppleberry solution. Instead of an app with a bright UI and push notifications, just feed a markdown file into a local LLM. But honestly, for someone with Daniel's technical background, that might be the most satisfying way to do it. It keeps him in control of the data and allows him to ask the specific, deep dive questions he cares about without the fluff.
Exactly. He could even ask it to compare Ezra's progress to specific theories of development, like Piaget's stages or Vygotsky's zone of proximal development. He could say, based on these three observations from this week, how does Ezra's play reflect his growing understanding of object permanence? That is the kind of insight you are never going to get from a standard baby tracker app.
Okay, let's get specific for a second. Ezra is 7 months old. What are the big neurological shifts happening right now that Daniel should be looking for? Regardless of what app he uses, what is the big picture?
7 months is the dawn of intentionality. Before this, a lot of what babies do is reflexive or accidental. At 7 months, the prefrontal cortex is starting to link up more robustly with the motor cortex. This is when they start to have a goal. They see a toy across the room, and they formulate a plan to get to it. This is also when we see the beginning of phoneme expansion. They are moving from simple cooing to repetitive babbling, the classic ba-ba-ba or da-da-da. Their brains are literally pruning away the ability to hear sounds not used in their native language while strengthening the neural pathways for the sounds they do hear.
So it is a massive period of specialization. They are becoming experts in their specific environment. That is incredible. And I imagine that is why they get so frustrated sometimes. Their ambition, the goal they have in their head, exceeds their physical ability to execute it.
Exactly. That is the source of a lot of the 7-month-old fussiness. They want to move, they want to grab, they want to communicate, but the hardware is still catching up to the software. If Daniel uses an AI tool to understand that frustration as a sign of cognitive growth, it changes the way he reacts to it. Instead of seeing a cranky baby, he sees a brain that is working overtime to master a new skill.
That is a great perspective shift. It reminds me of what we discussed in episode 227 about parenting in the age of AI. The tech should not replace the relationship. It should provide the context that makes the relationship easier to navigate.
Right. And for Daniel, I think the recommendation would be to pick one tool that offers high-level insights, something like the Wonder Weeks or Kinadu, but use it as a reference, not a rulebook. And maybe lean into that idea of using a general-purpose AI for the deeper, more philosophical questions. There is an app called Nara Baby that is very popular right now because it is very clean and does not have all the cluttered advice, but it allows for easy sharing between caregivers. It is great for the tracking part, but for the big picture, Daniel might want to stick to the more research-heavy platforms.
What about the physical environment? Are there AI tools now that can look at how a baby is moving through a camera feed and give developmental feedback? I know that sounds a bit dystopian, but I've seen some startups working on this.
It is definitely happening. There are companies like Cradlewise and others that are using computer vision to monitor sleep patterns, but there are research-grade tools now that can analyze a baby's spontaneous movements to check for neurological health. For a home user, we are seeing the beginning of this in apps that ask you to take a video of your baby doing tummy time or reaching for a toy. The AI then analyzes the symmetry of movement or the fluidity of the reach. It is called motor repertoire mapping.
That feels like it might be a bit much for Daniel's laissez-faire vibe. I can see him being more interested in the linguistic side. Is there anything that analyzes babbling?
Yes. There is an app called Babbly that is doing some incredible work in this space. It uses AI to analyze short video or audio clips of a baby's vocalizations. It is not just counting words, it is looking for the complexity of the babbling. For a 7-month-old, it is looking for canonical babbling, those repeated consonant vowel sounds. It gives you a report on their speech development and suggests activities to encourage more conversational turns. It is basically a way to track brain health through sound.
That is a great takeaway. It is something Daniel can do without any tech at all. But the tech can help him see the pattern. It is about the back and forth. It is the serve and return.
Exactly. And honestly, if Daniel wants to stay laissez-faire, the best use of AI is to have it summarize the developmental milestones for the next month and then put the phone away. Just knowing that Ezra is working on sitting without support, or that he is starting to understand the word no even if he does not follow it yet, gives Daniel the framework to just enjoy Ezra's company.
I think that is the sweet spot. Use the AI to build the framework, then live your life inside it. So, To summarize for Daniel, if he wants a dedicated app, Kinedu is probably the best for personalized developmental activities. The Wonder Weeks is the best for understanding those sudden shifts in mood and perception. And for the deep dive, nerd-level stuff he loves, using a private local LLM like Ollama to synthesize his own observations with established research is a total pro move.
I would also add one more, Baby Sparks. It is very similar to Kinedu, but some people find the UI a bit more intuitive on Android. It has thousands of video-based activities that are tailored to where your child is at that exact moment. It is great for when you have 5 minutes and want to know, what is a meaningful way I can play with Ezra right now that actually helps his brain?
That is a great list. And I think it is important to remember that at 7 months, the most important AI is the one inside Ezra's head. It is the most sophisticated learning machine in the known universe. Everything Daniel does, every time he picks him up, every time he makes a funny face, every time they try a new food, is high-quality data for Ezra's developing neural networks.
That is a beautiful way to put it. We are just trying to use our silicon-based AI to understand his carbon-based AI, and it is a fascinating time to be doing it. We have more insight into the infant mind than at any point in human history. Remember when we talked about the infant mind in episode 378? We were marveling at how they perceive the world before they have language. Now we have tools that can almost translate that perception for us.
It is wild. Before we wrap this up, I want to talk about the practical takeaways for any parent of a 7-month-old who is listening. Because while Daniel's question was about tools, the underlying theme is about how we use information to be better parents.
Right. Takeaway number one, focus on the transitions. 7 months is a bridge. They are moving from being stationary to being mobile. They are moving from milk to solids. They are moving from sounds to proto-words. If you feel like your baby is suddenly more difficult, it is almost always because they are in the middle of a massive hardware upgrade.
Takeaway number two, the power of the conversational turn. If you want to boost Ezra's brain development, just talk back to him. When he babbles, treat it like a profound statement. Respond to him. Ask him questions. That back and forth is the foundation of his social and linguistic brain.
And takeaway number three, do not let the data drive the bus. Use the apps for context, but trust your eyes. If Ezra is happy, curious, and engaged, he is doing great, regardless of what a milestone checklist says. The AI is a map, but the map is not the territory.
I love that. The map is not the territory. That should be the tagline for this whole podcast, honestly. Daniel, I hope that gives you some good leads for Ezra's next few months. It is such a fun age, and I'm looking forward to seeing him master that pincer grasp so he can start stealing our snacks.
He is already halfway there. And for everyone else listening, if you have found a tool or an AI-driven approach to parenting that has actually made your life easier or your understanding deeper, we want to hear about it. This field is moving so fast.
Definitely. You can reach out to us through the contact form at myweirdprompts.com. And hey, if you have been enjoying the show and finding these deep dives helpful, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Spotify or your favorite podcast app. It genuinely helps other curious people find us and join the conversation.
It really does. We have been doing this for over 400 episodes now, and the community feedback is what keeps us going, so thank you for being part of it.
Alright, that is it for this episode of My Weird Prompts. You can find our full archive, including those past episodes we mentioned on parenting and child development, at myweirdprompts.com. There is an RSS feed there, too, if you want to make sure you never miss an episode.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks to Daniel for the great prompt. We will see you next time.
Take care, and happy parenting.
Until next time.
So, Herman, I have to ask, if we had these tools when we were kids, do you think our parents would have used them, or would they have just laughed and gone back to their newspapers?
Oh, our mom would have been all over it. She would have had a spreadsheet for our milestones before spreadsheets were even a thing. Dad? Dad would have been the one saying the map is not the territory, while secretly checking the app when Mom wasn't looking.
That sounds about right. I can see you as a baby, Herman. You were probably hitting the cognitive milestones way ahead of schedule and the motor ones exactly on time, just to be precise.
I was a very efficient infant, Corn. Very efficient.
I don't doubt it for a second. All right, let's get out of here.
See ya.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks for being with us.
Goodbye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.